annual Kalamazoo New Year's Fest is coming up this Sunday with a whole night of activities, lots of music, lots of venues. But I want to focus on one musical group this hour with my guest, violist Arturo Ziraldo. Nice to have you here at WMUK.
Great to be here, Kara.
You are part of, and really the founder of, a group called Heartside Harmony, which will be performing at the Ladies' Library during Kalamazoo New Year's Fest. I thought we'd maybe take a trip back a few months and you could tell us about the founding of this group and what makes it kind of extra special.
Absolutely.
Beyond the, you know, making music part.
Yeah. Well, Heartside Harmony is a chamber music society, meaning a group formed to play chamber music of all kinds, not just string quartet or piano trio or some particularly established group with the same people, but pulling from a core of membership to put out all kinds of different music. But beyond that, of course, is the social justice mission, the main idea being trying to build a real strong community around the concept of music focused on diversity and inclusion. So whether that be presenting artists from any different ethnic or cultural heritage that we don't typically see in the classical music scene, or presenting music by composers of different backgrounds, or even trying to get out into communities that don't get exposure to this kind of music or haven't had it brought to them in a natural and valuable way, versus the sort of old gold standard classical music style of, hey, here's a concert, hope you like it. No real getting into the values of that particular community.
What made you think it was you that needed to take this step?
Well, it comes down to a history of feeling a little bit useless when it comes to wanting to be helpful or provide something meaningful to the world around me. On a personal note, I found myself unable to donate to causes I thought important because I'm a musician and don't make any money. I found it impossible to contribute in the ways a lot of other people do with skills because I spent my entire life building one. And so I don't know how to build houses. And even if I could, I'd have to be terrified that I accidentally, you know, hit my finger with a hammer and find myself unemployed for 6 months. And so, you know, just sort of it can be difficult for us, even though sometimes we do have more free time than other people might, to actually be able to contribute to important causes like that. And so finally, somewhere around this time last year, actually, it was just before Christmas, I started finally putting together some ideas I'd had over the last several years regarding housing fairness, ethnic equality, and music, and finding a way to bring them together so that those colleagues of mine who are incredible musicians will have a chance to put out the art music that we value so highly, but in a way that really directly benefits people versus sort of just playing a concert that we like and hoping that it kind of gets out there.
Do the musicians you brought together in Heartside Harmony, do you all discuss these issues of social justice amongst yourselves and their priorities and even their ethnic backgrounds?
That is a fantastic question. You know, it's because it is new and because for the most part, while I have to say I have had an immense amount of help from far too many people to name, still when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, it's mostly just me. So there's been limited time to be able to plan extra activities that aren't just making sure the concert actually happens. But in forming the group and in forming the basic roster, I had a person-to-person sit down with everyone that's played to speak to them about that and had some actually incredible conversations, you know, certainly opening my eyes as a relatively privileged white guy. It has been fascinating and very valuable to me to learn about the experiences of some of our really incredible members. I'll just throw a couple out there. Ria Olivace, who is a professor here at Western, comes to us from another country.
Dominica,
right. Yeah. And also from a ethnicity that we rarely see in classical music, particularly in in opera, on opera stages. And talking to her about her experience as particularly being not just an American or an African-American, but in fact not being an African-American, being a Black woman from another country who does speak English and is here and has so many assumptions thrown at her that don't apply at all. And then her journey through popular music through to opera and, you know, just fascinating conversations and a lot of learning. But I do hope to eventually be able to have more musician dinners and things like that where we can all sit around and talk about it. But we had some amazing experiences. We played at a prison this year. And one of the musicians who was going to be playing with us at New Year's Fest walked out saying, gosh, I'm going to try to establish a residency for my string quartet here because it was such a really fantastic experience to bringing music to people who otherwise wouldn't have had that experience.
So part of your direction is to seek out unusual audiences, like going to a prison.
Right. So the basic outline for our own presented series, of course, this concert will be performing for New Year's Fest, but the majority of concerts we play will be organized by us and put on by us. And so with those, the goal is to each time present a concert in a sort of standard venue, the way that a regular classical music audience member would expect it to be. But maybe with some modifications in the way we present things to try to make them more accessible to everyone. But then also a concert of the exact same music, everything the same, but in a totally different place, in a place that either wouldn't have music at all or wouldn't have this kind of music, and with attention given to making it easy to appreciate or more accessible depending on the culture of that location. So for our first concert in April, we performed at Mel Trotter Ministries, which is an emergency shelter for people experiencing homelessness in Grand Rapids. And they have a large chapel space, which they use for varying events, but including chapel and church services. And we played our full program there to an audience that we had no idea what to expect from, and who also had no idea what to expect from us. And it was very probably the greatest audience any of us have ever played for, with rare possible exceptions. We had, it felt like being a winning football team. It was really incredible. And we had tons of people come up to us after and speak to us about it. People who understood within seconds exactly what was happening in this string quartet, which many of us who come more naturally by the experience of hearing live classical music might take for granted or not look hard enough to see what's happening. They were talking about the communication between the instruments and all kinds of really wonderful things. So as we go later, we played at the prison, as I mentioned, we'll be looking at also not necessarily playing specifically for people who might be considered disadvantaged, but also maybe just in a part of town that doesn't have a classical music presence. So this can expand quite a bit to also other communities outside of Grand Rapids. That's where we're based, but certainly not the only place we intend to play.
My guest is Arturo Ziraldo, who is a violist with many orchestras regionally and the founder of Hartshorn Harmony, which is featured at this year's New Year's Fest in downtown Kalamazoo. And their venue will be at the Ladies' Library of Kalamazoo, shared with another. It's usually trading on and off. So you'll perform about three times or
That's
four
right.
times yeah. over the course of the evening. Mm-hmm. It's always a lot of fun. Arturo, as a violist, maybe you can give us a little capsule of your training. And I know you're a native Michigander.
Yeah. I went to middle and high school in West Michigan, outside of Grand Rapids in Caledonia, and then did my first formal training right here at Western Michigan University with Igor Fedotov, who's still a teacher here. Mm-hmm. Did my bachelor's in music, then went to New England Conservatory in Boston, studied for 2 years there, a graduate degree, and then did the same thing in Chicago at Roosevelt University Chicago College for the Performing Arts. Worked a couple years there, and then went to Switzerland to play for 1 year in the Orchestre de la Suisse Romande, and then did a little bit of studying as well at the Geneva Conservatory there.
Wow. Wow. And your playing is beautiful. I've had the honor of listening to you play before in some unexpected venues as well.
Indeed.
With a group called Andro that is bridging folk and classical to a certain extent. And you just brought so much to that.
Well, it's been my honor to join you there.
Let's talk about your two compatriots for this Sunday who are joining you with Heartside Harmony.
Absolutely. So anybody from who's been involved with the classical music scene in Kalamazoo will certainly know the cellist, David Peshlakai, formerly the principal cello player of the Kalamazoo Symphony. He was also in the Grand Rapids Symphony, professor at Kalamazoo College, as well as Hillsdale College. So if you've ever gone to a concert around here, there's a very good chance you've seen him if you don't actually know him personally.
I'm a star cellist, really.
Absolutely. So we're very excited to have him. You know, he and I have played together. Geez, I first played in the Kalamazoo Symphony as a freshman in college here. So that was 2004. So I have on and off been working with Dave since 2004. But it was only this year or last year when we played a little bit of chamber music for Kalamazoo Bach Festival that we were able to actually play together in a chamber music context. So this was finally an opportunity for us to work together. And I'm very excited about that. Joining us on violin, who also played for Heartside Harmony's June concert this year, is Jasmine Lynn, who lives in Chicago, who comes from Chicago. She is extremely well-known. She is in a extremely highly regarded and accomplished string quartet called the Formosa Quartet, as well as a piano trio called Trio Voce. She also plays in the Chicago Chamber Musicians and teaches at several different institutions in Chicago as well.
Did you meet her playing in an orchestra of some kind?
Actually, funnily enough, I met her years prior, but she did play in the Kalamazoo Symphony once as a guest concertmaster. Mm-hmm. But she was a professor at Roosevelt while I was there and extremely highly respected by my mentor, Roger Chase. And so I went to see her play with the Chicago Chamber Musicians and then later with her own trio and was just absolutely taken by her very special playing. She's a unique musician, has an incredible facility on the instrument, and it's a real joy to get to work with her on such special music.
It's interesting how even though you meet musicians, you're all practicing and playing the same thing, perhaps. Some people just, there's an almost wordless spark or harmony that you just know they're the kind of person that you want to play with. And it's not necessarily mm-hmm. that they're pleasant and easy to get along with.
Not always.
It's something about their playing that really appeals to you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that is the be-all and end-all of a performance.
Absolutely. You know, ever since day one that I decided to be a professional musician, chamber music was always what I wanted to do the most. And because chamber music is so intense as work, and because you work so closely with the same people, it's incredibly important that you have a very high level of respect for their artistic qualities. Hopefully you get along personally too. That is certainly ideal. And in this case, it is very true. I think most of us who have the sort of chamber music mindset would be willing to be highly frustrated by somebody outside of rehearsal as long as the music is really worth it.
Well, the concerts are on New Year's Eve this coming Sunday at the Ladies Library, and Heartside Harmony is the name of the group. You can find it on the New Year's Fest website, and the full schedule will be there. And I think tickets are available, or rather buttons are available now, at various places downtown to pick up your passes for New Year's Fest. Could you briefly tell us about what you plan to play?
Absolutely. So designing this program was a little bit difficult because, as I mentioned before, our goal is to, generally speaking, present favorite and beloved works, but also works by composers that are lesser known. And because the concert time is much shorter for this than for a typical concert of ours, we ended up deciding upon a simpler program of some really wonderful and very famous music. So no composers from the fringes this time. But so we'll be starting out with a unfinished trio by Schubert. He wrote two trios in B flat major for some reason. The first one, he finished the first movement and wrote about 39 bars, I believe, of a second movement and then just stopped. And that's what we'll be playing, the first movement only. I actually got the score out for the second movement and played through the violin part just to see, and it's beautiful, and I really wish he had finished it. But the fact that he hadn't provided us with just the right timing and style to contrast with the other work by Beethoven. So the Schubert Trio is really beautiful, extremely classical in style, but with that sort of untouchably Schubert feel. So even though at times it might feel, actually to me, very much like Mozart or even Haydn, it's one of those things you'd hear on the radio and ask yourself, wait, but who is this? And then by the time you get to the end, you would just know. That's right. That's gotta be Schubert. And then we'll be moving to the full Beethoven string trio, Opus 9, number 1 in G major. Probably four string trios, which are unfortunately not so famous compared with, of course, the string quartet or piano trio. It is probably one of the most famous and loved. It is absolutely gorgeous. The last movement is incredibly difficult. And hopefully won't sound like it, but
it's young Beethoven, you know, showing his stuff.
Yeah, it's shocking to think how young these guys were when they wrote either of these pieces. I know the Beethoven trio, he was 27, which I suppose when you think of Mozart or Mendelssohn might not sound like that young, but for such an incredible and beautiful, mature work, it's really special. And it was finished right before the Opus 18 string quartets, so the first famous string quartets came out. So it's in that sort of classical but rumblingly almost romantic style.
Yeah. Being a trio makes it just that much more intimate, and you all have to work just a little bit harder to make up for the fourth player.
Absolutely. I think writing for trios is really difficult because it's hard to keep it full all the time, which is why I think there are less of them and less of them that are extremely good, although these both would definitely be on my list. But performing them, as the viola player, I in particular always feel like, this may just be my forced perspective, but I think that string trios make the violist job about five times harder than it was in the string quartet, while the other two stay more or less the same, maybe a little extra for the cello. But I always feel like I'm playing second violin and viola at the same time. But I'm sure that if my colleagues could be here, they would argue with me about that. But it's definitely a lot more intense, even more required of you physically, but there is a certain ability to play more as an independent voice than when somehow the fourth person in a quartet really changes and makes it absolutely collaborative at all times, no matter what. And in trio, there are times when you can sort of feel like three people playing solo lines together, mm-hmm. which is interesting. And from a player's perspective, really fun.
Well, I'm just dying to get out a recording and listen to this.
Absolutely.
Now, but I want to maybe extract a commitment perhaps in the future where you come to our studio and talk about the music, and then the three of you could play it in our Takeda studio if you'd be willing to do that.
Well, of course. I've been dying to try to fit us into a great live radio performance, and because our concerts tend to be so compacted time-wise, it can be difficult. But definitely am willing to make a commitment to get that done as soon as we possibly can.
Well, listeners who want to follow up with Heartside Harmony can go to the website where there's a schedule posted there. And I know Arturo will keep you updated on the site and maybe through Facebook. Do you also?
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page, which is also at Heartside Harmony. And on the website, there is a form to sign up for a newsletter so that any and all events will make it straight to you.
The events so far have been where you live, in Grand Rapids, but you're looking to also find ways to collaborate in Kalamazoo.
Right, yeah. Kalamazoo, Muskegon, Sparta, and anywhere around that there's a desire for great music and community building, we'll be there.
All right. Well, Arturo, good luck on Sunday, and thanks for coming in to talk about it.
Thank you very much. Always great to see you.
Thank you.